Broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. Four southern border crossings will reopen today in Texas, Arizona, and California as the federal government sues Texas over a new law allowing its officers to arrest migrants crossing into the state. The Biden administration says Texas has exceeded its authority. Reporter Chris Fox is in Austin.
The U.S. DOJ warned Texas if it did not forego enforcement of Senate Bill 4 by January 3rd, the U.S. would pursue all legal remedies to stop it. And now it has, filing suit in federal court. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed the immigration bill into law last month.
The goal of Senate Bill 4 is to stop the tidal wave of illegal entry into Texas. It creates a criminal offense for illegal entry into Texas from a foreign nation.
The DOJ calls the law clearly unconstitutional. Migrants' rights groups refer to it as a show-us-your-papers law. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Texas and other states have sent migrants to other locations. Venezuela, Ronfi Alberto and his family were among 36,000 or so that went to Denver. His family is now sharing a home with three others. He says it may be crowded, but it's better than being in a shelter.
It's pretty rough. It's tiring at night. It's cold there. It's cold there during the day. Even though they bring you food, you don't eat well.
San Antonio police say they've arrested a father and son in connection with the murders of a pregnant 18-year-old woman and her 22-year-old boyfriend last month. Sergeant Washington Muscoco.
The son's going to be charged with capital murder, and the father's going to be charged with abuse of the corpse. We do expect more charges to be pending.
The pair were found shot and killed in their car. Police say information from the woman's cell phone helped lead them to the suspects. Former President Trump has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene after Colorado's top court disqualified him from the state's GOP primary ballot. CBS News contributor and elections law expert David Becker.
It's important for the United States Supreme Court to rule on the merits as quickly as possible so that everyone in the United States can plan accordingly. The Republican Party can know whether they have a qualified nominee.
The Colorado court disqualified Trump for his role in the 2021 Capitol insurrection. Weeks after a judge's ruling, the names of indicted sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein's alleged victims and other connections have been released in a more than 900-page-long document dump. CBS's Nancy Chen.
40 documents in total, more than 940 pages plus. It's important to note that being named does not necessarily mean that someone had knowledge of or involvement in Epstein's crimes, with the documents also including the names of accusers along with potential witnesses.
On Wall Street, S&P futures are up 7 points. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin State Capitol building received a false bomb threat Wednesday morning. It was one of several state capitol buildings across the country to receive such a threat. The building did not go into lockdown or need to evacuate, as the email threat was quickly deemed a hoax. A spokesperson with the Department of Administration says that they took additional safety measures to ensure the safety of everyone in the building. Respiratory illnesses are on the rise in Wisconsin, and there's no letup in sight. Dr. Jeffrey Potoff is Chief Quality Officer for UW Health.
We are seeing an increase in number of patients admitted with respiratory illnesses compared with the number of patients admitted around Thanksgiving time. We're up about 40%.
Hospitals are requiring masks again. About 1,000 people in Wisconsin died from COVID-19 last year. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose to the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. Milwaukee losing to the Indiana Pacers for the fourth time in a row. Final score, Pacers 142, the Bucks 130. What was the problem? Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
For us, I thought it was just the turnovers. You know, I challenged the team before the game about our rebounding. So our guys, I thought we fought. We kept competing. I just thought the turnovers really hurt us.
The Bucks in San Antonio tonight against the Spurs. NFL, the Packers held practice getting ready to host the Chicago Bears Sunday at Lambeau Field. Bears quarterback Justin Fields on playing in Green Bay.
You know, their home field. I know their fans are going to be loud because There's not much to do in Green Bay except watch football, but
The Packers are headed to the playoffs if they can beat the Bears. Jordan Love.
That's what you play for, right? You play for these moments, these opportunities to play in the, you know, competitive games. And I think everybody's excited for it, but it's going to be fun.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 27 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the southwest at 5 to 10. Tonight it'll be clear. We'll drop to 16. Tomorrow cloudy, 32. Some light snow is possible tomorrow night. And then on Saturday, mostly cloudy, high of 34. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 21.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is
some gremlins running around in there, maybe.
Some gremlins as well, it appears, on the board. Wednesday, January 3rd, 2023, 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big show. There you go. We're back live and after a little bit of a break over the holidays, back to be live here, and great to have Trigby and Pat Kreitlow along as well.
Absolutely, and we got some great questions, and there's even a few more. We didn't have time to get to all of them.
We're gonna pick a little bit up on that here at hour number two, and kind of pose the question now. Pick up on this, expand it a little bit. You have Steve Scalise, one of the top people in the Republican caucus, behind House Speaker Mike Johnson, and also Tom Emmer, who is the Republican whip. And no, that does not have anything to do with the chancellor or former chancellor at La Crosse. Not that kind of whip, you understand. It has to do with, it's called 2024, we've gone S&M. Thank you very much. But if you don't know political parlance, a House whip or an Assembly whip, whatever, it's that person's job. They use the term to whip votes. And of course, people don't, well, as far as I know, I've never witnessed it, get actually whipped. But you go after them verbally, you apply pressure, you say, go along with your party and vote this way, because that's the way that the party wants you to vote. You're whipping votes.
Come on, you're part of the team, right?
Right? Yes, that's the new term. You're on the team, right? You're on the team. But Tom Emmer is the Republican whip for the House of Representatives, who stepped up and offered to be the Speaker of the House before they elected Mike Johnson. And Emmer is from Minnesota. And he's a dude who, you know, I believe I'm correct in saying that he voted to impeach Donald Trump, or at least one of the times, and has kind of stood up to Trump. So Trump went after him on Twitter and otherwise, and was like, you know, look, this guy's bad news, beat up on him. And now all of a sudden, both Steve Scalise and Tom Emmer have endorsed Donald Trump for president ahead of the Iowa Republican caucuses, which we are now less, get this, less than 2 weeks away from the first votes for president of the United States being cast in Iowa on Tuesday, January 15th.
Oh, boy.
I know.
It felt so far away for so long.
For so long. But now here we are. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, Democratic U.S. Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania calling now for the expulsion of fellow Democrat Bob Menendez.
As he ought to.
Who, and apparently now there is more evidence against good old Menendez that he took a $25,000 watch from the country of Qatar, or Qatar, however you want to say it. And so now the guy is being accused of espionage and trying to help out foreign governments over gold and cash and watches.
This just appears to be comically corrupt. Like first, right? Yeah, you got taking literal gold bars of gold, taking huge bundles of cash and stuffing it in his jacket. And it's like, what was it, $400,000?
Yeah, it was a lot.
It's something absurd. And now you find out that he took a watch and like, it's...
The guy's goofy.
Why is he still there?
I think that's a good question. And I agree with John Fetterman. I mean, we got rid of George Santos on the Republican side of the House.
Or whatever his name is.
Time for Menendez to go on the Democratic side in the U.S. Senate, in my opinion.
I agree.
So we shall see. So all that and more coming up here. And again, had a great holiday season, traveled around the state a lot, was in Richland Center and Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley area. Also up in Shawano and Green Bay. Had some great shows at RCE in Richland Center with Betty Hayes Baxter and Cheryl Baxter Ratliff and Ellington Ratliff. Three generations of dance. Betty Hayes Baxter now world record holder, 77 years.
And counting
as the longest teacher in the world of dance. So that was a great show. And then we were up in Green Bay on Friday, and we had Mino in the Mayor, a great morning show for our morning crew in Green Bay and Oshkosh. You can catch them every morning from 6 until 8 on WGBW and also WISS Oshkosh Air Support. So it was really great to be with all of them. And now back, great to be here with you, Mr. Somers.
Absolutely. I'm glad to see your face through the glass.
Yes. Good to be seen, as they say. So let's pick up a little bit on this and take your phone calls as well, by the way, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. I want to read you, because I think it's important. Oh, we should go back really quickly. Let's pick up Gene's question from last hour. We were talking, had a caller that, you know, asked a fair question of, what are we, meaning people who oppose another Trump presidency, what are we afraid of that you would get in a second Trump presidency? You know, fair question. And to Trigvi Olson's point in the last hour, in my opinion, and we're coming up on the anniversary of it, January 6th, I think that I agree with Trigvi that Donald Trump's refusal to honor the legitimacy of an election that has been proven fair, free, and accurate, the refusal to honor that and to participate in the peaceful transition of power, along with what the bipartisan congressional committee on January 6th discovered, which was that Donald Trump helped to mount an insurrection against the United States, I believe those are disqualifying pieces of evidence for another term in the White House.
I believe that those are. I also personally believe that the whole keeping the documents at Mar-a-Lago, sure, every president has probably taken some things they're not supposed to have. But when they're asked to be returned and in such large quantities, and he's just like, no, it's not real, it's fake news. Or he's like, here, have this toilet paper from the White House. That's everything, I swear.
Right.
That's also disqualifying. And just the way he talks and what he would do to people, what he says he would do, he appears unfit for any office. I wouldn't want him to mow my lawn.
he wouldn't mow your lawn.
I wouldn't want him to be in charge of getting somebody to mow my lawn.
Fair enough. So it's a fair question, I believe. But again, I believe that the events of January 6th, the refusal to participate in a peaceful transition of power, disqualifies Trump from being a legitimate candidate that I would want to vote for or see in the White House. Neither do I want a one-party system. I believe in a healthy two-party system. But right now, to Trigvi's point and to Paul Ryan's point, we really don't have that right now. Because only one party is consistently at the upper levels, at the leadership levels, standing up for democracy. And of course, all of this is predicated with the fact that you first and foremost have to agree in the big truth, which was the 2020 election was free, was fair and accurate, that Donald Trump lost the election, and that Joe Biden won the election. That is first and foremost. If you don't go along with that, then I'm not sure I can help you. Because you know, I'm not sure that we can have a rational, I shouldn't say have a rational discussion, but the fact that the 2020 election has been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt to be legitimate, you have to be able to understand and accept that as fact, number one. Donald Trump refuses to this day to accept that fact. And it is a fact. So I just don't think that he's qualified for a second term as president of the United States. I think it would be dangerous to democracy to have him in the White House. I wish that the Republicans would have the chutzpah, the gumption, to nominate somebody like Chris Christie, who, again, I might not necessarily agree with everything that he's saying, but by golly, he agrees on the basis of democracy and has been willing to call out Donald Trump consistently. He's not afraid to answer any question from anybody. And he knows and will say publicly that the Civil War was about slavery and say slavery was a bad thing.
And that 9/11 happened and it was bad. Like, yes. You wouldn't think that would be a point of contention, but Vivek Ramaswamy begs to differ.
It's those foundational, fundamental things that you have to accept fact and truth for what it is, first and foremost. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phone lines. Ron in Milwaukee. Ron, Happy New Year. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Happy New Year so far. So a couple of things. One is I happen to be online cruising around. I like looking at looking at old history books and that sort of thing, mm-hmm. remembering things I've temporarily forgotten. And I ran across the photo of people in 2000 standing in front of the Supreme Court and holding signs saying, "Let the people decide, not the courts." Mm-hmm. And I heard the other day, I heard about half a dozen Republican lawmakers stand up in front of cameras and say the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. So now, are we all going to follow, run by the same standards, or are they going to be special? That's the question there, because they didn't think it was a good idea then, but they think it's a good idea now. Now, that was Bush v. Gore, but basically it was the same deal. Go to the Supreme Court, which is what Trump's attempting to do now to get off the hook on this,
right?
And get them to overturn this, and you know, so he can run free and clear, and we'll halt the election short if we have to in order that he can win. Yeah, you know, it's a little bit obtuse. Now the other thing is that.
Well, before we go on, let me just address that quickly for the audience. I would say in 2000, what you had was, and again, this was, there were outside journalists, there were independent observers that came in and counted the votes in Florida after the Supreme Court made their decision to, quote unquote, stop counting, which in essence gave the election to George W. Bush. But by all accounts I've ever seen and read, that independent folks have discerned that George W. Bush won Florida by 500 and some odd votes. So that the election in Florida, Bush did win that by 500 and some odd votes, which gave him Florida, which gave him the Electoral College, which means that Bush was the legitimate president at that time. So that was that part of it.
Be that as it may, they were willing to risk, damage Americans' faith in their government and their courts.
Sure. Ron, can you hang on, Ron? I'm up against the commercial. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back with more of your phone call from Ron in Milwaukee on the other side. This is the Todd Allball Show in Civic Media.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are back live with you at all new show Wednesday, January 3rd, 2024. Mr. Zomer's on the board. It is 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. About to pick up on the phone lines with Ron in Milwaukee. Sorry about that, Ron. Had to pay some bills. We are back. You wanted to make your second point. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it interests me that at least in some quarters, people are so outraged that anybody would attempt to affect the primary ballot in advance by, you know, using the 14th Amendment to remove Trump from the ballot or prevent him from getting on the ballot. Mm-hmm. You know, the primary election at the federal level is not a thing. You know, it was not, it's not in the Constitution. States had primaries. And there were so few national elections that they didn't even bother. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, for most of our history, the parties didn't bother either. The two major parties would make their choices in those infamous smoke-filled rooms at their conventions. Mm-hmm. And they could still do that, and it would be perfectly legal.
Sure.
So, you know, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so... you know, if you say let the people decide, and he's not on the ballot, third part, they can still decide by writing him in, even though the primary is, as far as the parties, national parties are concerned, the primary ballots for delegates to the convention are purely creatures of the party. You could show the Republican National Convention, and I'm sure somewhere somebody, maybe even somebody within listening distance of me in the studio, knows that at many conventions in the past, Democratic and Republican, there have, because of crises within the parties, bickering and so forth, and stalled outcomes, nobody has a clear majority, they would make rules changes.
Sure.
You know, they'd say, well, you know, we're, and it's like, well, the delegates at the party might be outraged by that. It's like, we got all the delegates here that want to vote for Trump, and the party would say, no, there are other factors involved here, and the national committee has decided to change the rules to protect the party's interests.
Right.
Both parties have done that, and it still pertains as a thing that could be done, and the voters would still have the right to vote, even if they had to write them in. Now, I wonder how many Magans would actually take the trouble to go down to the polls and write in.
Oh, quite a few, probably.
I doubt.
Here's where, Ron, I appreciate the call. Here's where I'm at on this ballot thing with Trump. This is why I love the law, because I think if you apply the law evenly and fairly, you'll get an answer. And I appreciate the people that say, oh, no, you can't keep Trump off the ballot because of the 14th Amendment, because that would create chaos and people would go apoplectic. Yeah, it probably would. It probably would not be good for, you know, civil unrest if the Supreme Court would keep Trump off the ballot. Probably true. Here's what I want. I want the law to be followed. And I want people who are constitutional scholars and lawyers to apply the 14th Amendment and the Constitution fairly and evenly, regardless of what the fallout may be. And if the answer is, look, constitutional scholars and lawyers have applied the Constitution and Trump should be allowed to be on the ballot, I might not like that, but okay. And vice versa. If they apply the law and constitutional scholars and lawyers say, look, 14th Amendment applies, he should be kept off the ballot, so that's the way it is. We should follow the law the way that the framers wrote it. And it's the one thing that we swear to when we're elected officials, whether it's a school board, county board, or president of the United States. You swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States. So that's where I'm at on that. I just want the law to be applied fairly and evenly. Great call. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Dick in Madison. Dick, thanks for listening. What say you?
Couple quick things on the Supreme Court. For instance, let's say they deferred and decide not to do anything with this. Wouldn't it be even worse? You know, they're saying, oh, we don't want to put our foot on the scale. Well, this is a guy who said he will not accept the outcome unless he wins, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so then it would go to the Supreme Court. Is that when you're going to make a decision?
Potentially. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you talk about the chaos in this country. I think it would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
But a quick idea for a commercial for the Lincoln Group.
Sure.
You know how they say in advertising, repetition, and maybe you'd even get through to some megas with this.
Yeah.
You take Trump from 2016 when he was crooked Hillary nonstop, and saying as much as that she can't be on the ballot because she's being investigated. She wasn't even indicted on anything.
Right.
And it would cause a constitutional crisis. This is in Trump's own words.
Right.
And it would be nothing but chaos if you elected her.
Yeah.
And now you fast forward to 8 years later, and he's saying it's out of bounds to be taken off the ballot. For having, what, 91 things counts against him?
91 charges, indictments against him, and counting.
Yeah. I find that kind of strange.
That's a great... We'll pass that on to Trigby, Dick. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Happy New Year to you, Dick. Thank you so much for calling in. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Appreciate the passion on this. Because, yeah, this is something that... I mean, the Supreme Court has to weigh in on this. But again, I just want the law to be applied accurately, fairly, and evenly. And I'm not a constitutional scholar. I'm not an attorney. But I want it to be applied evenly, regardless of what the outcome is. Because as long as you have consistency in the law, that's what kind of binds us together and keeps the ship going in the right direction. I want to get to this. I think it's important to make the point here. This was what Trump tweeted out to Tom Emmer of Minnesota when he wanted to be Speaker of the House. Quote, I have many wonderful friends wanting to be Speaker of the House, and some are truly great warriors. Rhino, meaning Republican in name only, Tom Emmer, who I do not know well, is not one of them. He never respected the power of a Trump endorsement or the breadth and scope of MAGA. He fought me all the way. And actually spent more time defending Ilhan Omar than he did me. He is totally out of touch with Republican voters. I believe he has now learned his lesson because he is saying that he is pro-Trump all the way. But can we ever be sure? Has he only changed because of what it takes to win? The Republican Party cannot take that chance because that's not where the First Amendment voters are. Voting for the globalist rhino like Tom Emmer would be a tragic mistake. A little over a month ago. Now, yesterday, Tom Emmer said this. Tom Emmer said, Democrats have made clear they will use every tool in their arsenal to try to keep Joe Biden and his failed policies in power. We cannot let them. It's time for Republicans to unite behind our party's clear front runner, which is why I'm proud to endorse Donald J. Trump for president, unquote.
Little Freudian slip there.
Yes. This is where we're headed, folks. My former party, the party of Lincoln, Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, has now been taken over by a cult leader like Donald Trump. Meanwhile, Paul Ryan and former Republican Party Chairman Andrew Hitt are finally speaking out. Talk about it more. Also, what's happening in the Menage a Trois in Florida. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allbold Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. It's the Biden administration versus Texas in an immigration standoff. Here's correspondent Jared Hill.
The Biden administration is now suing to block a Texas law that allows state and local law enforcement to arrest and deport people suspected of crossing the border illegally.
San Antonio police say they've arrested a father and son for the murders of a pregnant teen and her boyfriend. Sergeant Washington Moscoso.
It appears to be a narcotic-related deal that went bad.
A huge just-released document dump contains the names of alleged victims and other people connected to Jeffrey Epstein, indicted on sex trafficking and other charges before he committed suicide. Some context from criminal defense attorney Joseph Tully, who was not connected with the case.
His job was obviously rounding up people of influence, people in positions of power, and putting them in compromising situations. But that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone he interacted with was involved in that.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Workers at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin are working to form a union. They're being represented by the Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals. They say that unionizing will help improve their working environment and enhance patient care. They expect around 100 Planned Parenthood workers to be included in the union. 22 states raised their minimum wage on New Year's Day, but not Wisconsin, where baseline pay remains at $7.25 an hour. More businesses are raising pay on their own, but not everyone benefits.
For the workers who really have those constraints on opportunity because of their concerns about immigration status, concerns about physical mobility, employers can really take advantage of that.
Laura Dresser is a labor economist who studied the issue for the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 27 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the southwest at 5 to 10. Tonight it'll be clear. We'll drop to 16. Tomorrow cloudy, 32. Some light snow is possible tomorrow night. And then on Saturday, mostly cloudy. High of 34. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 21.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
where it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome to 2024. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock, Wednesday, January 3rd of the new year. Mr. Zommer's on the board. Glad to have you along with us across the great state of Wisconsin. Heard Mike Clemens' great report there over the break that the Wisconsin Badgers got a big win over Fran the Man from Iowa. And was at the game last night with my good friends, the Kleins. The entire family Klein went along.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was great. I had Lauren and Parker, their two great kids, along as well. Just a fantastic group of people. And we watched the game last night. And, of course, we wanted the Badger victory. And it ended up the Badgers got a big victory. They're, I believe, now 10-3 on the season, doing really well. But here's the thing that we all were hoping for was a Frantrum. And if you're not familiar, the Iowa coach, first name is Fran, he has a short fuse. The guy is just, he's not a pleasant man, and he gets irritated very easily and picks up technical fouls because of his attacking, not physically, but verbally attacking the referees on a frequent basis. And we have never, of course, we see these on TV when we watch the Badgers, or Matt LePay describes them on the Badger Radio Network, which, of course, you can hear right here on Civic Media. But we were really hoping for a Frantrum last night, and we thought we got close, and we were having a lot of fun with it. But then the Badgers just kind of pulled away, and you know, the Fran meter went down, and did not happen.
It's less fun to watch, but it's for the best.
I guess, but that was one of the questions posed last night. Which would you like to see more, a Badger victory or an in-person Frantrum?
It's a difficult question.
It is. It's harder than you might think to answer because it's a long season and one Big Ten loss, you know.
It's not good, but.
Not good. But I guess at the end of the day, we decided that probably we take the win. But a close second would be a Frantrum. So we can only, we discussed getting in the car and driving down to Iowa to see where the Badgers played Iowa. Maybe just.
You really just want to follow. You don't want to miss it.
Right. You don't want to miss it. That's exactly the point.
The Badger football game on Monday. So the day after New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't drink enough water the night before, so I was feeling a little dehydrated, if you catch my drift. But, and.
He was hungover.
Yeah. I was sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
Drinking water, eating. I don't know. I think it was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Anyway, just sitting on the couch.
As one does.
Football was on the TV. I know my roommates had been watching some other football game. And then I got up to go and get some more water. And it had been maybe half an hour since I had last looked up at the TV. And I was like, hey, wait a minute. Isn't there a Badger game today? And they both just looked at me. And I turned around and looked at the TV, and we were just about 30 minutes into the Badger game. And well, it was on the TV the entire time. I was sitting facing the TV and just did not look at it.
You were very hungover. Were you still drunk?
Oh, no. It wasn't. I was just absorbed in whatever I was reading. I don't know how I was fine reading, but I was.
The Badger football team, they looked great in the first half, or very good at least, and then things just fell apart. And Tanner Mordecai, the Wisconsin Badger quarterback, played a great game. And some of the guys played their hearts out. You know, as my former broadcasting partner, Kevin O'Connor, was fond of saying, great potential for disaster. And then it's the balancing scales. And, you know, I think that's what, I mean, we play Alabama and Oregon next year in the Big Ten. By the way, the Big Ten or the national championship game is going to be an all Big Ten affair. If you move to 2024, it's going to be Michigan taking on the University of Washington. So, of course, Washington joining the Big Ten next year. So
once again, please rename it.
The University of Washington? Well,
no, oh. Big Ten.
Oh.
Big Ten doesn't mean anything. Well, the Big 500 might be more accurate at this point.
Perhaps.
It at least feels like it.
Anyway, it was great to see great to listen to some Badger football with Matt LePay and also Badger basketball last night. So, again, you can hear all those Badger sports all season long right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Simply download the Civic Media app. You can do so at your Apple or Android device. Type in your app store in the little search bar, Civic, C-I-V-I-C. Takes less than a minute. It is free. It's what Gail King at CBS Mornings calls a deal. Want to move on to what's happening down in Florida. A little update for you. The old menage a trois update. And not good news for Republican Party leader down in Florida. An additional felony charge may be coming for the Florida Republican Party chairman, Christian Zeigler. That's according to a search warrant obtained by the Florida Center for Government Accountability, whose motto is holding the powerful to account. Zeigler's already facing a rape investigation of a woman who is part of a menage a trois with Zeigler and his wife, Bridget Zeigler. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Bridget Zeigler is on the Sarasota County School Board and is co-founder of Moms for Liberty. Yes, that Moms for Liberty, a MAGA-adjacent hate group. Both Zeiglers have promoted family values.
Formerly using Hitler quotes on their website.
Yes, led book banning crusades and pushed an anti-LGBTQ agenda. Both Zeiglers also happen to be close to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Bridget is credited with the issue, and the issue is whether Zeigler videotaped the sexual encounter without the victim's consent and for the purpose of sexual arousal. So here's what happened. The Zeiglers were in a long-term menage a trois, meaning three people having sex together. Bridget Zeigler, of course, Moms for Liberty, going after anybody who happens to be bi, curious, gay, or otherwise. And of course, she's involved in the same activity. And again, what people want to do in their private lives consensually with consensual adults, in my opinion, is their life. But you should not be hypocritical about it if you're going to go out and criticize and do things against people and you're doing the same activity in your own life. What's really upsetting is the fact that apparently, allegedly, they had one of these menage a trois with the Zeiglers set up with another woman. And then Bridget Zeigler, the co-founder of Moms for Liberty, said, I can't make it to this one. I'm out. And the other woman told Republican Party chairman of Florida, yeah, I'm really only here for her, not for you. Well, he didn't like that. So what is alleged to have happened is that he went over and forced himself on this other woman at her home and videotaped it. If so, he violated Florida's video voyeurism law, a third-degree felony published by up to 5 years in prison. When police interviewed the GOP official about the initial rape allegation, he, Mr. Zeigler, showed detectives the video of the sex act that he'd taken on his phone. So apparently he himself is admitting he has this video. The woman who was allegedly assaulted told police she had no knowledge of Zeigler having recorded the encounter and not given Zeigler consent to take the video of them having sex. Christian Zeigler has yet to be charged with a crime. Now, Governor Ron DeSantis, and here's more interesting as we move into the Iowa caucuses here. I think you're going to see more of this in the next 2 weeks. Governor Ron DeSantis appointed Bridget Zeigler to the Central Florida Tourism Board, which is leading DeSantis's culture war with the Walt Disney Company over its opposition to the Don't Say Gay law. So I'm not going to go into all this, but again, you may vaguely remember we talked about it on this program that DeSantis got his undies in a bundy because he thought that Disney was too pro-gay. And Disney spoke out and said they disagreed with DeSantis and the Republicans' so-called Don't Say Gay bill. And so DeSantis created a board to kind of screw Disney over. And one of the people he appointed to this was Bridget Zeigler. Bridget Zeigler was also the architect of the Don't Say Gay law and stood behind DeSantis when he signed the legislation. DeSantis has not taken action to remove Zeigler from the board. I'm telling you, if you're in Iowa, you're going to see some ads in the next 13 days bringing this up. And again, What people want to do with their own lives consensually with other adults is their business. But this is the quintessential pot calling the kettle black. You've got people who are, and it's not just that you're speaking out and saying, well, I don't agree with this. These Moms for Liberty people and other people, these Republicans in Florida, they are going after particularly young people who are discovering themselves, who are trying to figure out who they are, who might be being ostracized at home for being who they are. Very vulnerable young people. And instead of showing compassion and accepting them for who they are and encouraging them to say, look, you know, this is how you were created and we're going to support you and be there for you. And we're going to answer questions you might have in a healthy way. Offer books, legitimate books about sexuality and questions that young people might have. Instead of showing that kind of support, Moms for Liberty and other groups in Florida and across the country are saying you're going to hell. You are a sinful person. You are a bad person for being who you are and how you were created. And teenagers are committing suicide because they're embarrassed. They feel ashamed. They feel like they can never be who they truly are. As a gay person myself, I've gone through that. And I understand that to a large degree. And I am very fortunate that when I eventually came out in my 30s, that I did not lose any family members or close friends because of it. I felt support. And I realize and understand that I am very fortunate and blessed. And I also understand there are a lot of people who do not have that same support system. And I think it is absolutely disgusting for people to make it particularly young people feel less than because of a political agenda. And what's particularly disgusting is when they are doing the exact same activities behind closed doors and then allegedly committing crimes of rape and disseminating these videos without people's consent. The same people who are attacking our youth for being who they are allegedly breaking the law themselves and doing the same behavior. And why do they do it? All for political gain and power. And then they try to hold themselves up as the party and the people of family values. The lack of consistency, the lack of authenticity, the lack of genuineness. I just can't understand how you want to vote for people like that and put them in positions of higher power. The Iowa caucuses are less than 2 weeks away. It is January 15th. Trump leading in the polls. Ron DeSantis right now, the guy who's letting Bridget Ziegler stay on the Disney board and on her school board position, is number two. Nikki Haley, number three right now. Being reported that the next Republican debate in New Hampshire is only going to be between Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis. Chris Christie, Vivek Ramaswamy not making the cut. But appearing more and more like it really doesn't matter. Appearing more and more as Tom Emmer and Steve Scalise, Republican leadership are already endorsing Trump. Not even a vote cast. And Republicans have decided it's all MAGA all the time in 2024. Back after this, this is Civic Media's Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That is 10 minutes away from national news, a check of weather, and then our friend and colleague, the great Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct, will be back here on these airwaves. Always a great program. Former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney who has seen it all at almost every level. He knows the law, knows how to apply the law. You're going to learn something. You're going to be able to entertain because, you know, Matt has a sense of humor. Doesn't take himself too seriously. That's what I love about him. Just an all-around great guy. It is a two-hour party, a legal party, a political party. You are invited. He reminds us that history is being made every minute of every day, and he is right. He takes you to the front lines of history immediately following our show, Matt Flynn Direct. So stay tuned for that. To the text line, by the way, if you want to call in or text us, feel free, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Go to the text line, WMDX, Wes from Middleton, saying, last time I ran the numbers, you can't be militantly 100% straight and engage in a threesome. Math ain't mathing. Just calling balls and strikes here. Interesting turn of a phrase.
he's not wrong, though.
He's not wrong. Wes is not wrong. Yeah, I did not mean for this to be, and really, we should, it would be interesting to have somebody like a Dr. Ruth Westheimer on talking about human sexuality, because I find it fascinating, by the way. And not to go too far down this path, but, you know, I would suggest reading or watching the movie called Kinsey. There's a great movie about 20 years ago, I think. Liam Neeson played the role of Alfred Kinsey. And it's based on the real-life true story of Alfred Kinsey, who was a professor at the University of Indiana. And he was kind of one of these cool professors that, you know, all the kids got along with, and he wasn't like a stuffed shirt. He was a real person, you know, told it like it was. And the students really trusted him. And so, and this is like the late 40s, I believe, early 50s. So, you know, talking about anything sexual was taboo back then. And so these college kids would go into Professor Kinsey during like office hours, and they would talk about things that, you know, young people talk about. And especially back then when you couldn't say any of these things out loud or to very few people, they would ask questions like, you know, well, you know, me and my girlfriend, you know, we had premarital sex. Are we going to hell? Or, you know, I had a same-sex encounter. Does that make me automatically gay? Or even things about masturbation, for goodness sake. That, I mean, people just didn't talk about that. And so what he found out was, look, we need to teach a class about this, right? So he's credited, Alfred Kinsey is, of teaching one of the first human sexuality classes in America. And in fact, he took a 3-year sabbatical and did what is still the largest study on male sexuality. He asked over, I believe, 3,000 participants anonymously, so they could be honest, right? Because nobody knew who or how they were going to answer. Asked them a variety of questions about sexuality and about sex, about their you know, habits, their actions, their thoughts. And did it from all different, you know, ethnicity, social economic classes, rural, urban. And what Dr. Alfred Kinsey found was in his research that very few males are 100% straight and very few males are 100% gay. That most males, if they're being honest, fall on a spectrum, on a scale. And some of those might be, well, I've had bisexual thoughts, but maybe not necessarily acted on them. Some might say I've had an occasional acting with a same-sex experience. Some say I like men and women equally. Some are I'm predominantly gay, but have, you know, it goes but have had a relationship with a woman. It goes on a scale like that. He came up with something called the Kinsey scale. And he also found that sexuality within our lifetime can also be fluid. And you actually find out that the way that the human DNA is wired is very different than what society may tell us. And so I found it's just, it's very interesting work. By the way, it's a great movie if you want to stream it or, you know, the old-fashioned way, get it on DVD. It is called Kinsey, starring Liam Neeson. Yes, that Liam Neeson. Very different role than a lot of them that you see Liam Neeson in. But yeah, and when we stop and take a moment, as we pause and reflect, as my old math teacher Andy Spies used to say, when you pause and reflect and look at science and fact, you realize that, you know, this isn't as cut and dried as everybody thinks it is. 844-967-2789. Let's go quickly to Milwaukee and Camilla in Milwaukee. Thanks for listening. What say you?
Hi, Todd. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
First, I wanted to... Yeah, thank you. I wanted to say, I did not know that you were gay. And the reason I say that is, it doesn't matter. I've been listening to you for, what, about a year now?
Sure.
I love what you have to say. And it doesn't matter to me if you're gay or not. And just you sharing that and weighing in on the topic here, I just wanted to applaud you for that and spreading the word and doing what you do. And I have to end with, I love your laugh. No matter what topic, whenever you well, laugh, thank you. Like that, it makes my day, and I'm usually in my car, and I giggle, and I smile, and it makes me happy, so I just wanted to share that.
So. You're too kind. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Happy New Year to you. Thanks for calling in. Look, I realize I'm a very fortunate and lucky individual. I mean, there are very few people that have the honor and the ability to get on and have a microphone in front of them and a statewide audience every day. I never take that for granted. And I don't want this show to be about, quote unquote, Todd all the time. But I do think when we have these stories that come up and I can add something to personal context, I feel it's my responsibility to speak out and to say something, because if I can help one other person make their journey a little easier, and we all go through different journeys, if I can help make one other person a little bit their journey a little easier, that's what we're here for. And we're just trying to understand each other. Because you know what? Life is tough. It is really tough. And 2024 could be a tough year. But that's why I'm so glad that we're here every day, noon to two together, because we're going to listen to each other. We're going to respect each other. And by golly, we'll get through it. It'll be a fun journey. 2024 is going to be a great year, Mr. Zomers. Thanks to you, Pat Kreitlow, and Trigby Olson. Thanks to them and all of our callers. You're fantastic. Stay tuned. Our friend Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct is next. We'll see you tomorrow in 2024. Remember, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you're believing, do not give up. Keep banging your drum.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes... Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make STARS part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News.